This is Views from the Heart, a program whose purpose is to point women to the heart of God while giving hope and enlightenment about our future with Him. To help us overcome a world of distractions that too often leads to spiritual mediocrity and defeat. To understand and claim His precious promises and to realize that His plans are not to harm, but to prosper. Here's Allison Stevens.
I just need to pray first. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this opportunity to talk to such a brave, wonderful woman who's willing to share a lot of real personal stuff with us today, Lord. And I just pray that those of us with weight issues might have open ears to hear your voice, and that you might just whisper to us and let us know how much you love us, no matter what weight how much we weigh. But Lord, and we know that. But just whisper to us how sweet we are and how you would like to see us healthier. Just help us to understand that amazing grace that you show us, Lord, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you saw my Facebook post, I really share, you know, that I've had a weight issue all my life. And so today is very special and close to my heart, today's talk, because we are talking to a woman who lost 250 pounds and stopped trying to earn God's favor. The name of the book is Sweet Grace, a weight loss memoir, and we are talking today to the author, Teresa Shields Parker. And Teresa, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
You're welcome. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you here as well. I know that I am not alone with just a lifetime of weight issues and battling the bulge, and in reading some of your book, I thought, wow, you know, I so crave sugar, and I know how to get out of that, but it's just something that I struggle with. And it's not just the sugar. I love bread too, and I love the good food and the bad food, and so I really look forward to today's talk, and I want to make sure that you, as a listener, you know, if you have a question, don't hesitate to join us. And at 862-2373, give us a call. But Teresa, first of all, when did you realize that you had a weight issue?
Well, in 1977, I really realized I was gaining a lot of weight. That was the year I was married. But I always had a propensity towards sugar and bread and the wonderful foods that my grandmother and my extended family used to cook. And, you know, we'd go to big family gatherings and we'd have all of this food and it was awesome. And you could eat all you wanted, anytime mm-hmm. you wanted, as long as you were there. And then I went home and my mother really had a more controlled attitude towards food. And I think it might have been because of the way she grew up. And so she kind of controlled portions and that kind of thing. And it just kind of made me want the food all the more, the comfort food, the foods that my grandmother gave me. And that kind of became an emotional kind of comfort to me. But in 1977, when I'm out on my own and I'm able to eat whatever I want to and able to cook whatever I want to, my weight kind of started going up, and I probably gained at least 50 pounds in that first year of marriage. And I journaled my prayers back then, when I would be praying to God and what I felt like His answer was. And I didn't even realize I had all these journals until I went back and started writing this book. And I found these journals, and the first time that I wrote about my weight issue was in 1977, and I just cried out to God, and I said, what am I going to do about this mountain of flesh that I have amassed? And, of course, at that time, the mountain of flesh was not as nearly as big as it was going to get, but I cried out to Him, and He gave me a plan. He said, stop eating so much sugar, eat more lean meat, vegetables and fruit, and stop eating so much bread. And so you would think I had prayed and I had gotten a plan, and you would think I would follow that plan. But instead, I just decided, you know what? I can never do that. Great plan, God. but it will never work because I can't do it. And so I just missed it. But every time through the years when I would come up against this issue again and see, you know, that I was gaining weight again, I would come to the end of my rope and I would cry out to God again, and he would give me the same plan. It's in my journals at least 5 times throughout the years. Mm. But instead I wanted a quick fix. You know, that
right.
sounds, that's yeah. really hard. Give up sugar. I mean, come on, who wants to give up sugar?
Right.
I mean, sugar is how I relate to people. It's how I relate to my family. It's, you know, how I celebrate birthdays and holidays and mm-hmm. any kind of fun thing. And it's how I handle depression, and it's how I get my life, into a basic flat line. I don't have to worry about emotions being too high or too low.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of, you know,
yes.
That's where I like them. I felt
yes.
like that was what I wanted to be. I just mm-hmm. wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because then nothing can hurt me or harm me, or, you know, I don't have to worry about any kind of other issues if I just contain myself and I'm just good.
Right.
So really, probably, you know, that was one of the first times. But the real wake-up call was when I went to the doctor in 1999. And I learned that at that time I weighed 430 pounds. So, you know, I'd gone quite, that was more than 200 pounds from where I was in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gone to the doctor because I wasn't able to catch my breath. I had trouble breathing. I had trouble sleeping. My heart was pounding a million miles a minute. As a matter of fact, my stepmother, who was a nurse, had come over and listened to my heart and told me I needed to go to the emergency room because it was, I don't know, doing something
mm-hmm.
weird.
Yeah.
She told me what it was. I can't remember. And I felt like I was dying. And
right.
they did an echocardiogram, and they said that I needed a mitral valve replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my size, I was going to need open heart surgery. And they sent me to the hospital for an angiogram at that point in time. So that was kind of a real, that was probably the biggest time when I realized, okay, you have an issue. Because up until that time, when I would go to the doctor would say, you really need to be losing weight. And she'd
yes.
hand me a low calorie diet sheet or a,
mm-hmm.
or a low fat diet sheet or a diet pyramid kind
right.
of thing and tell me what I needed to do and
right.
how to portion my sizes and all
mm-hmm.
this. And I would throw it in the trash when I went out, because she would also say, but at this point in time, you don't have any really other mitigating, you know, issues. You don't have high blood pressure. You don't have diabetes. You don't have, you know, high cholesterol, any of those issues. But, you know, that may come down the line. And so it did come down. This was the wake-up call when it
Man.
Came. And I was,
yes.
Let's see, at that time I was 46 years old when I got that wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. And what a wake-up call that is. We're talking to Teresa Shields Parker, a woman who lost 250 pounds, and just learning from her in her book, Sweet Grace, a Weight Loss Memoir. If you have any questions or would like to join the conversation, please do that. Give us a call at 862-2373.
The phone lines are open. Call Allison at 518-862-2373 and be part of Views from the Heart.
We are talking to Teresa Shields Parker. Her book, Sweet Grace, a Weight Loss Memoir, is about a memoir of losing 250 pounds and stop trying to earn God's favor. And Teresa, wow, I'm identifying so much with your story, all the things that you're talking about, when I know that I have to give up sugar, I know I have to give up these things. And to be honest with you, for a while, I mean, I've been to Weight Watchers umpteen times. I have no idea how many times. Always was very successful, but never hit a goal. I would plateau and then feel like I was wasting my money, so I would stop going and then gain that weight back. And did you ever join a weight loss program during that time? Did you ever try anything?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. we all go through this, don't we?
I have tried everything. Weight Watchers, Diet Center, Atkins Diet. Hey, I'm a really successful dieter. I can lose lots of weight. I gain it all back, mm-hmm. and plus more. I always did because I, you know, a diet is a short-term, temporary solution to a long-term problem. Mm-hmm. So a diet is not going to work. It's not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what diet it is. It's not going to work unless you see it as a lifestyle change, something mm-hmm. for the rest of your life, not something that's just going to be a Band-Aid on a really big issue.
Right. Now, Teresa, did you give up sugar entirely?
Yeah. Here's what happened. After I went to the hospital, the doctor told me my heart was that I didn't need open heart surgery, that my heart was too big, or my body was too big for my heart.
Okay.
That my heart was never designed to pump blood through a body of my size. And so he told me that I needed to lose 100 pounds or I'd be dead in 5 years.
Wow.
So that was a really big wake-up call. And, I had a 9-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, and my husband, my extended family. I was working in ministry. I wanted to be around for a while. And I went back on Atkins, lost another 100 pounds because I figured, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can lose weight. But then Christmas came. Hey, you can't get to Christmas without sugar, right?
Right.
And so I started back on sugar. And, you know, I did this a lot through my life. And what I've come to realize, and it's a process, there's other issues involved in my story, but when I finally realized that four years is when I've actually realized that I was a sugar addict. And it was when I heard a counselor talk about his harmful life pattern with alcohol. And he said, mm-hmm. as he was sharing his story, he's right now a 30-year sober alcoholic. And he shared that alcohol is basically liquid sugar. And it clicked in my head.
Oh, wow.
All of these things that God had been telling me about stopping sugar, all of the times that I'd gone on Diet Center or Atkins and not eaten sugar and mm-hmm. had lost weight, only to just take one bite of sugar and I'm back off of the track again,
mm-hmm.
that maybe I could be a sugar addict. I had never heard the term sugar addiction. I didn't know that there's a term called sugar sensitivity. I didn't know that's a big kind of buzzword these days, is sugar addiction. But I just had this quiet whisper in my heart from God and this nudge in the direction that maybe this could be it.
Mm-hmm.
I had already had gastric bypass surgery at this time.
Oh, wow.
I had lost weight, but mm-hmm. I had started gaining back again, and I was back into the morbid obesity category.
Wow.
And I knew I had done the granddaddy fix of them all.
Yes, right.
You know, there was no other fix available. There was no other man-made intervention
mm-hmm.
available to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the fix that I did not fix my head and did not fix my heart.
Right. And that's the key, isn't it? We have to fix the head, fix the heart, and that's where God comes in. I would love to have you join the conversation. Give us a call at 862-2373.
This is Views from the Heart with Allison Stevens on the New Light 96.7 WDCD.
We are talking to Teresa Shields Parker, her book, Sweet Grace, a weight loss memoir. And Teresa has lost 250 pounds and stopped trying to earn God's favor. Teresa, When did God really, I mean, you said that he kept giving you this message, stop eating sugar, eat better, eat right. And that's not a message that, you know, we haven't heard. I mean, if you've ever joined Weight Watchers, that's a major thing with them, you know. And it also, Weight Watchers always, at least when I had gone, you know, talked about the mindset has to change. Apparently that didn't hit me because my mindset hasn't changed. So someone like me, Teresa, I'm trying to figure out what are we doing wrong? How can we get that same thing that you've got from God that has helped you through your sugar addiction? I think we might as well talk about just the sugar, because that's, I think, the basis of a lot of our issues.
I think for me, one of the big things, and I'll talk a little bit about God, but I need to talk about why addiction was such a buzzword for me.
Yes.
My father's father was an alcoholic, and all of his family were alcoholics. My dad broke the mold and started the blessing in our family instead of continuing the curse of alcoholism. And he drilled that into us that, you know, alcoholism was bad and that it was in the family and that you didn't know if you started to drink, if that was going to be a tendency you might have or not. And to hear God whisper to me after hearing my counselor talk about his problem with alcohol, and to hear God whisper to me that I had an issue, I had an addiction like alcoholism, only with sugar. I had never really correlated the fact of the word addiction with sugar. As a matter of fact, in the past, I had said, joking with friends and family, I wish I were an alcoholic because then I could just stop drinking. Of course, I didn't know how difficult that would be either.
Right.
But, you know, it was like, no, I'm a foodaholic. I can't stop eating.
Right.
You know, which is true. You can't stop eating. And at that point in time, when I look at the food I was eating, it was all sugar and bread, basically. And when I have heard people say to me, because I do a lot of posting on my Facebook page about sugar addiction and about weight loss and that kind of thing, when they say to me, what would I eat if I stopped eating sugar and bread? And I understand that. I understand where they're coming from. Because if I ate meat, it was breaded and fried. If I ate vegetables, it was covered with sauces or gravy. If I ate fruit, it was in a pie. You know, there wasn't, you know, I surrounded it with other stuff. I never ate what I call now real food. I really never ate broccoli, just broccoli, not broccoli cheese
with cheese
rice casserole.
Right.
I never ate just fruit. I would always eat mandarin orange salad something like that.
Okay.
And, you know, it was always disguised. And so I thought I was eating. I thought those were healthy. Mm-hmm. And those are not. Those are not healthy. So that was really step one for me, was understanding that I have an addiction, and that whatever I was going to do from this point on was going to be long term. It was because an alcoholic does not just stop drinking alcohol for 3 months and then go back to drinking alcohol and everything is fine.
Right.
That doesn't happen. If they're an alcoholic, they stop drinking alcohol. So I knew if that was the case for me, I was going to have to stop eating sugar altogether. I was going to have to cut it out. Now, what I did first was I'm
going to hold you, Teresa. Sure. We've got a break. I'm going to hold you right there because I do want, these steps are extremely important, and I want to hear this.
Okay.
You know, you may have joked around with people. I know I have I'm addicted to sugar, and you laugh and you giggle. But here, Teresa is letting us know and confirming what we really deep down already know, that sugar is an addiction. Is sugar an addiction for you? Why don't you join us in this conversation? If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. 862-2373. Talking to Teresa Shields Parker, author of Sweet Grace, talking about how she lost 250 pounds and stopped trying to earn God's favor. Okay, Teresa, steps.
Yeah. My first step was to cut out my trigger food, which at that point in time had become candy. I had started eating candy again because I had the gastric bypass and didn't eat sugar for a short period of time because I couldn't. But made me really mad, and I took the first opportunity I could find to go back into it. And I started eating candy, you know, one piece at a time, but I would put away a bag a day. And so I knew I had that bag of candy sitting there. And so I made the decision I will stop eating candy. And when I did that, when I stopped eating the candy, after I was successful with that for several weeks, and I had invited God to remind me of my decision whenever I was tempted to go into that again, then I was able to do what I really knew was in my heart, which was to stop eating processed sugar. So processed and refined sugar for me is the culprit. I stopped eating sugar, but instead of focusing on the pink elephant of sugar, I told myself I can eat all of the real fruit I want. So I stopped eating sugar. I started eating fruit. When I was tempted to eat sugar, I would eat fruit instead. And that helped me cut out the sugar. And after a while, probably 6 months, I got to the point where even fruit wasn't as, you know, interesting to me as it had been in the past. But mm-hmm. I still eat fruit. I still do that every once in a while. You know, I might eat a piece of fruit a day or a bowl of strawberries or something mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. that for the sweet. Mm-hmm. And I will also, if I bake something like, for instance, I eat gluten-free too. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if I bake, a gluten-free banana bread, I will sweeten it with the bananas. That's right. That's what I use as the sugar. Right. And after, when you start doing this, it's really true, and I've heard, read many different authors since I've been doing this. I've read a lot of people who say this, that once you start, when you cut out the processed sugar and you don't go back to it, your taste buds begin to change.
They do, yes.
Our taste buds have been, they've been killed, I think,
yeah.
pretty much by the type of packaged,
sure. mm-hmm.
pre-made mixes and,
mm-hmm. right.
and
processed foods.
Stuff mm-hmm. that we eat is just not good for us.
Right, right. Well,
so that's number one. And then, I mean, I think there are really three basic steps of overcoming any weight loss issue. One is acceptance that you've got an issue, and most of us stay in that phase for, you know, 20, 30 years, okay? But you don't have to stay there for that long, but you accept it. Okay, I've got an issue. The second one is the most important phase, I think, and that's ownership of your problem and surrendering it and turning and going the other way. It's surrendering it. It's laying it down. It's saying, I can't handle this anymore. I've accepted that I have a problem. I've tried for 30 years to fix this problem on my own. I've tried every diet imaginable. I've tried the surgery. I've tried every pill, every weight loss supplement, every shake, every fitness mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. I've tried it all, and it's not worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surrendering. I'm laying down what I crave, what I want, what I desire, right. and then I'm turning around, and I'm going the other way. I was going
yep.
towards, you know, anything I wanted to eat, anytime I wanted to eat it.
Right.
And now I'm going to turn around mm-hmm. and I'm going to walk it out, and I'm going to walk towards health.
Mm-hmm. And the third?
That's the third part, is walking out of it.
Walking out of it. Oh,
walking
wonderful.
Out of it with God by your side, inviting him to be there every step of the way, listening to him. You know, connecting with him daily, connecting mm-hmm. with him every moment, choice by choice, and really acknowledging that the way, like now I acknowledge the way I live is a fasted lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I give up sugar, every time I give up bread, I give it up for God
mm-hmm.
because I cannot do the work he has put me here to do if I am stuck in an unhealthy, addictive lifestyle. And
Amen.
In reality,
yeah.
I was putting sugar before
mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
wow.
he told me to lay it down many
right.
times.
Right,
and
right.
And I can't.
Yeah.
I said, I can't.
Yeah.
But I surrendered. I finally surrendered the weakness to him. And
yeah.
that key, that part, that middle part, which you talked about changing your mindset,
mm-hmm.
that's part of it. It's a mindset change. It's renewing your mind, like Romans, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that talks about renewing your mind,
our minds.
Not being
we have the mind of Christ.
To the world anymore,
yes.
And presenting ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, to God, making a decisive dedication is what Amplified says of our bodies to God. And that's what we have to do order to change our mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, 862-2373, this is a wonderful conversation, and I'm hoping that you're getting a lot from this. Would love to have you call in with a question or a comment, 862-2373.
This is Views from the Heart.
Teresa, I never have time with my guests. Enough time. I'm going to have you come back on in January. That's all.
Well, that'll work.
I think that would be really good, and I think people would appreciate that as well. One of the hardest things that we can do, I think, especially as women, is to change our mindset. It's something that we have to do, isn't it? It's something that God helps us do, but we have to make that conscious decision to do that.
You know what? We change our mind every day.
True.
We put on a red top, and we think, no, that won't work. I need to change it and put on a pink top. And then we change it again. We put on a green top. But changing our mind about stuff like this is for some reason really difficult, and I think it's because we're thinking that voice speaking inside our head is truth. And so our mind, we have to determine truth from lies. Our mind is always talking the negative side of us and the positive side of us. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize we don't have to listen to the negative side of us. We don't have to listen to what the devil is saying.
Amen.
We don't have to listen to the negative side of us. Mm-hmm. We can listen to the positive, truth-bearing side of us, because we know that eating a donut is not going to help us on our health journey. I don't care what the rationalization is.
That's right.
I'm tired. I need it. It's there. Somebody will be sad if I don't eat it. I mean, know all of the... All of them. Yeah.
And it's not going to solve the problem that we're in at the moment. It's not going to, the long haul, it's not going to make us feel any better. It's not going to solve the issue that we're dealing with. If we're stressed out or upset or depressed about something, that's not going to fix it.
That's right. It's not going to fix it.
Yeah.
I do want to say this. I feel like I don't know how much time we have, but I really want to say this to the ladies that are listening, or to anyone who's listening who has a weight issue. God is not mad at you.
Oh,
he is not mad at you. He is sad that you made wrong choices. And
but he is
sad
not mad.
Because mm-hmm. the abundance that he is ready to give you is not available when the choices you're making mm-hmm. are prohibiting you from living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
And his suggestions and his plans for us are always for our best. They're always to give us a hope and a future.
Exactly.
And his grace, that's what grace is for.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is so we don't focus on sin. We don't focus on our failures. He gave us grace that covers our sin, past, present, and future.
Right.
And I really wondered when I was writing this book, and it dawned on me that when I was 7, he saved me and he gave that to me, even knowing what I was going to go through and what I was going to do in my life.
Wow.
He
yeah.
still gave me the grace. And I wondered why did he do that?
Yeah.
He did it because he wanted me not to focus on that. He wanted me to focus on him.
Yes.
And finally, it's taken me, I'm 60 years old this year. It's taken me this long to figure it out.
That
focusing on him mm-hmm. is where freedom comes. Mm-hmm. I am finally free of sugar. I went through my birthday without sugar. I went through Thanksgiving without sugar, and I'm going through Christmas without sugar. And
amazing,
I
Teresa.
I can say for the first, and I did that last year as well.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Last year I wanted it. This
yes.
year I don't. This year I'm finally free. This year I'm living free. It's taken me a while, And it will take a while, but
sure,
the dedication that, to it is what's important.
Yes, that is a goal of mine. And John, I know you're on the line. Hopefully we can get to you in just a moment if you can hold on. 862-2373.
This is Views from the Heart.
Well, Teresa, we are at the end of the show, and I'm going to have you on again in January. We'll set up a date because there's too much to your story and too much of this that's so important to women today, and I think that January would be a good time for us to talk about this again.
Sure.
Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. I know that you have so much more to share. How can people get a hold of the book?
The book is on Amazon, along
okay.
with the study guide is also on Amazon, the Sweet Grace Study Guide or the Sweet Grace Weight Loss Memoir. Both are on Amazon. There, it would also be available by asking your local bookstore, and they could order it through Ingram. So
wonderful.
And also on my website, TeresaShieldsParker.com.
TeresaShieldsParker.com. We'll have that on our Facebook page. Thank you so much, Teresa. God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, a lot of food for thought. Pardon the pun, but I hope that this has helped you a little bit, and it's going to help you more in January when we have her back on. So be thinking and praying about what God wants you to do with your weight.